you're running a bigger organization. Complex doesn't begin to cover it. But we've got these tools that we've built to really make all the work easy.
In UX, we are always thinking about the customer experience. Microsoft gives us the tools to empower my customers.
Across industries, we see the workplace transforming. And businesses need tools that promote agility and enable them to connect their people, their data, and insights all securely.
We're making huge investments in Windows because developers are essential to our mission. Their creativity, it's absolutely transformed the world of technology.
Last year, we announced Microsoft 365. Now you can have teams located across the globe, connected in real time in a secure workplace.
The hardest thing for a developer is getting connected to a customer. With Windows 10, developers can instantly write an app that hits 700 million devices around the world.
Developers can extend and reuse elements of Microsoft 365 to solve the problems of the modern workplace.
Devs are customer focused. They obsess over making everything perfect.
I just want to create the best experience as possible. That's it. And with Windows and Office, I know that I'm doing that.
Please welcome Joe Belfiore.
Good morning! Good morning, good morning! Hello, Build! Welcome to day two. A big thank you to all of you for waking up early to join us here on day two. We greatly appreciate it. You know, this Microsoft 365 platform keynote, originally we were thinking we would do this on day one after Scott. We knew there was some risk that Scott would go over time a little bit, so we thought maybe today would be a little bit of a better time to do it. And in particular, we know you all appreciated our big announcement yesterday after Scott. Microsoft Dev Yoga ME 365 Enterprise Edition, sponsored by Lenovo. See what I did there? Yoga, Lenovo? Yeah, too early still? No? Well, thank you all for coming. And I really want to start out with a sincere and heartfelt thanks from all of us at Microsoft. As we embark on our journey to continue to modernize our platform and our experiences, we know that what we deliver is only possible because of the work from all of you. And we view this as a partnership, and we're excited to be here with you today to give you more depth on how all of these pieces are going to evolve. And so with that, I want to recap a few of the key ideas from yesterday and put today's keynote in some context. Yesterday, you heard Satya and Scott talk about some key ideas for us. One is the sense of responsibility that we feel around how computing is evolving. We want to do things because they're the right thing to do, not just because we can. And then looking at it from sort of a technical perspective, we really see the world evolving in some really important and noteworthy ways. We see solutions getting built in this combination of an intelligent cloud with an intelligent edge, working together, where the code that you write might run in the cloud, but you might deploy to the edge and take advantage of offline. And you saw lots of examples of this yesterday, and you'll hear more today. We believe in ubiquitous computing, embracing a wide range of devices. We believe in data and AI, and we believe that end users deserve that their devices are thoughtful and incorporate multi-device use and multi-sense use. So today we're going to talk about that as well. And yesterday Satya mentioned that we view the world as being focused on two key platforms. One is Azure, and the other is Microsoft 365. And today we're going to spend 90 minutes focused on that Microsoft 365 part. I promise you, I'm going to do our best to keep us moving along and hit 90 minutes. And when I'm done, I'll hand you over to the next keynote. You'll probably want to get your bingo cards ready for the following keynote. I personally am curious to see if Sundar and our friends down in Mountain View can execute the bingo as quickly and nicely as Satya did yesterday. Actually, I had a bingo that was this nice diagonal with these four spots. I want to see if Sundar does that too. My bingo was drone-powered AI flight. I think Google's likely to do that, drone-powered AI flight. Ethics and responsibility. I'm sure we'll hear from Google about that. Here's the tricky one. Digital assistant cohabitation. Yes. But the one that I think might be toughest is, of course, Microsoft Dev Yoga ME365. So we'll see if we get that. We will try to keep to time so that for those of you who are going to switch over, you can do that quickly and easily. So what we're going to cover today is Microsoft 365, which I think most of you are familiar with. But just to be sure, this is a product suite that consists of Windows 10, Office 365, and Enterprise Mobility and Security Services. And today we're working to build this as a thoughtful experience that rolls out to organizations and individuals in a way that helps to empower people in the way the culture of work has evolved. We're focused on things like teamwork and collaboration, and making sure that not only the software that we write, but also the software that you write makes this into a platform where organizations can make the people within them more effective and able to do more. And some of the key technical aspects of this are the things that we talked about yesterday. We want Microsoft 365 to embrace multiple devices. We want it to be smart about letting users move from a PC to a phone. We want Microsoft 365 to embrace multi-sense use. We want it to be able to smoothly go from mouse and keyboard to touch to ink. We want to be embracing vision, new ways of working like wearing a VR display. And so a lot of these ideas are not only work that we're doing in the products that we build, but we're also trying to platformize so the code that all of you build will make your organizations more effective in the same kind of way. One of the other key ideas here that we're going to spend time on this morning is the Microsoft Graph. And you heard about this some yesterday. Maybe you attended some sessions yesterday afternoon on the Graph. And I just want you to come into the keynote with one key idea, which is that the Graph is a cloud-backed data store where both you and us can put organizational data in a way that's private and secure to the organization, but in a way that also lets our solutions take advantage of both so that AI can reason against that data, that organizational data, and so that the experiences that both we build and you build can light up and make those end users' lives better. So what we're going to do is go through four chapters to take you through all the cool things that we're working on to help all of you with Microsoft 365. First, we're going to talk about ways in which the Windows 10 user experience is evolving to help make people more productive and effective in this evolving culture of work. Second, we're going to take you through a bunch of specific things that we're doing to make life better for Windows developers. And this ranges from terrific technologies to help you modernize your apps, to better pragmatic ways that you can distribute those apps, to ways in which we're trying to make sure that Windows is a great place for you to write code for all kinds of experiences and platforms. Third, we have some really cool things that we're going to show you about how, within your organizations, the code you write can light up end user experiences within Office. And so the value that you're making is present where people are collaborating, where they're communicating with each other and making their workflows better. And then last, we're going to show you some ways that the Microsoft Graph can make the apps that you write more powerful and more capable, helping your organization get things done more effectively. So that's the layout. And what I'm going to do now is give you a quick look at an example of how one of our customers has started embracing this idea of Microsoft 365, and they're already getting started. So let's hear from Siemens.
We at Siemens Healthineers have served as pioneers in medical imaging for more than 20 years. We are continuously expanding the core of our products and entering into new fields. This requires constant adaption of nearly 10 million lines of code across a broad range of different deployments.
Our focus is to make the life of users easier using new interaction technologies, artificial intelligence, and digitalization.
But now it gets more and more important to have a faster and more efficient implementation of high-quality interfaces. all of our hardware, whether it is a tablet for our scanner control or one of our Zyngo AI reading workstations, is paired with an interface running on the Windows platform. Our Windows integration across our products allows us to incrementally stage improvements and prevent disruptions for our customers.
It's strategically important for us to create a coherent experience across our portfolio with the universal Windows platform. The goal is to make our products easy and delightful to use and create a feeling of familiarity when switching between them. We not only focus on our users, but also on patients. Our solutions touch an estimated 5 million patients every day. We aim to enable the hospital staff to focus on the patient instead of how to control our systems.
In the end, we are helping people, and every improvement we make means better care for them.
All right. So I'm going to get us started here on chapter one, talking about how the Windows 10 experience is going to evolve to give people better productivity across devices. And I want you to think about this from the lens of how Windows 10 would be used within your organizations. One of the key things that's happened lately is we see Windows 10 deployment really ramping up significantly in commercial accounts. Right now, there are over 200 million people in corporate accounts using Windows 10, and we've seen that adoption rate increase now at 79% year-over-year growth. And so we're trying to find great new ways for people to use Windows to get things done as they do their work within organizations. And I'm going to cover these two topics. First, I want to talk about how we're continuing to push forward on the idea of Windows embracing all the devices that you use. And then second, I want to take you through some of the ways we're improving the desktop experience. But first, let's talk about the notion of Windows PCs working with smartphones and other devices. And I want to start here by talking about Timeline. Now, I know most of you are familiar with Timeline. You've tried it out before. Timeline is now ramping to millions of people as part of our April update. And so with Timeline, the basic idea is that the things that you do on your PC or other devices are available in a simple click from the taskbar. You can scroll back through time, see everything you were working on, and just click to resume. Now, the key idea here, though, is that Timeline is based on the Microsoft Graph, and therefore, it enables cross-device experiences. Here you can see I've got my iPhone out. I'm going to do some browsing in Edge for iOS. I'm going to look at a Word document. And when I do, those Microsoft 365 experiences, they post that activity data into the Microsoft Graph, and then when I switch devices and go to my timeline, I'll see those activities. So there's my Word document, and there's the web browsing I was doing. This is relevant, of course, to all of you, because now is the time for your apps to be posting that activity data to the graph as well. As Timeline ramps to tons of people on mobile and on the PC, we want that experience to work for all the things they use. Now, you might be wondering, now that this is out, what happens next? Well, with the graph data in the cloud, we're going to begin experimenting with some features that will reason against that and do things to help end users be more effective. Like in this example here, you'll see we're working on an idea that'll come to an insider build soon, where Cortana can make proactive suggestions about where you would pick up where you would left off based on your frequency or intensity of working on particular things. So that gives you a sense of the way that the graph plays a role in making these cross-device experiences work. And what we're going to do now is start talking about some new stuff, in particular, that runs on mobile phones. And to do that, I want to introduce to the stage Shilpa Ranganathan, who runs our cross-device experiences team. So Shilpa, come on out.
Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here at Build with you today. And I'm really excited, I'm gonna hit all the bingo words, by the way. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm also really excited to share some of the work we've been doing to enable seamless customer experiences across your phones and your PC. So I'm gonna start us off with talking about our mobile experiences first. And to do that, I'm going to talk about Microsoft Edge and Microsoft Launcher. So let's take a look at Microsoft Launcher. As many of you know, Android's ecosystem enables us to create a fully customized experience for your Android phone. Now, we have a Microsoft launcher bringing our signature, fluent, productive, and customer-first experience to your Android device. Now, it's available in the store, and if any of you download it today, please try it, use it, and send us feedback. I'm also very excited that the very same launcher we just talked about is going to come to the enterprise. So this is Martina. She's a designer in Contoso. This is her Android device. As you can see on her home screen, we've created a safe and secure environment for people like Martina to access their work content seamlessly through their phones. The IT admin can place a customized folder, which can showcase many of the line of business apps that many of you in this audience are actually going to place in there. With one click, she's able to swipe right, and she has access to her integrated feed. Now, this very same feed allows the IT administrator to be able to send her messages about important security updates, gives her access to her calendar, the same line of business apps that we just talked about, and also news about her enterprise. This launcher is powered by Intune, and we hope that many of you in this audience will take advantage of it going forward. So before I move to the next section, you heard Satya yesterday talk about the fact that we're really focused on making the phone a great second screen for your PC. Just a few minutes ago, Joe talked about the fact that the timeline on the PC is the easiest, natural, and most simplest way for a customer to get access to their shared activities across devices. And now, I'm very excited to announce that we will be bringing that exact same timeline to your iPhone and your Android devices as well. Thank you. And making the PC the perfect second screen to your phone. So let's take a look. So on my launcher here on my Android phone, with a click of one button, I have access to the exact same timeline I did on the PC. It's a great way for me to be able to launch the exact same apps that I had access to. This morning, driving into build, it would have been really convenient for me to have this on my phone, being able to launch PowerPoint so I could rehearse my deck this morning. So being able to give you access to all of these activities on the go on all your devices. Now, we're bringing that same rich and powerful timeline even to iOS. So Edge on iOS will showcase that same button. Clicking on the button will give you access to the timeline again. And people like Martina, as well as all our customers, can have one-click access to all of their shared activities across devices. Now, this picture is incomplete without you. What we'd really like you to do is write your activities to the Microsoft Graph so that we can make people like Martina really successful at home as well as at work. We can make her super productive with a timeline that is inclusive of your apps as well as ours. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here. This is me at my desk. I get a few minutes between my day full of meetings. I like to keep my phone nearby. So while I'm sitting at my PC trying to be super productive, that first text from my mother or my husband or my daughter's school makes me want to pick that phone up. I pick that phone up, and then I'm lost for the next 10 minutes. I'm on social media. I'm checking steps, which I haven't done any steps. I'm sitting at my desk, clearly. That's weird. And so I'm doing all of these follow-on activities that have nothing to do with keeping me productive on the PC. And the primary reason I keep my phone so close by is because I'm really anxious that I might miss that important text or that important notification. Now, what if I told you I'd never need to take my phone out of my laptop bag, my purse, or my pocket ever again? So you saw some of this yesterday. I'm thrilled to announce that coming in a future release of Windows, we will be shipping an inbox app that will allow you to get some of the key workloads off your phone right onto your PC. So let me talk a little bit about how this would work. So as I said, it's an inbox app integrated into your PC experience. You can launch it from the taskbar. Launching it will give you access. It's a permanent destination for your photos, for your texts, for your notifications, and many other key workloads over time from your phone right there on your PC. So let's take a look at how this might work. So I have my phone. I'm Martina here. Martina gets a text message. We mirror that exact same text message on her PC. She can reply in line or we'll launch her into the phone app we just talked about, giving her the ability to use her full-fledged PC as well as keyboard to interact with this text message. So let me talk a little bit about how this works. What we've done here is we've leveraged our knowledge of Martina's identity and her devices in the Microsoft Graph to create a durable connection between her phone and her PC. Now, we leverage this connection to pull some of the most recent text messages that she cares about from her phone right to her PC. Now, Martina is in full control of this experience. She can decide to enable the experience or disable it. She cares deeply about her privacy, and so do we at Microsoft. So we've ensured that the data that she has stays between her two devices and isn't synced to the cloud. So let's take a look at how this might proceed going forward. She starts having a conversation with a coworker. You saw some of this again in Satya's keynote. So being able to actually use your full keyboard instead of your two thumbs on your phone, being able to integrate your workflow, so copy-pasting images from your desktop right into your flow as well. James colors the stool, sends it back. She's able to integrate all of the content of her text message back into her PC as well without taking her eyes away from being productive at her PC. Now, one of the other things that's really critical is photos. So we've all had this moment where we've taken a picture and we want quick real-time access for that picture on our PC. So Martina is, like many of us, is at the Build conference and she just had lunch and she's basically trying to figure out if she can actually submit an expense report in the few minutes she has between sessions. So let's take a look at what she might do. So Martina scrolls up and she finds the most recent pictures. Again, we're leveraging the graph to get the 25 last pictures from her phone onto her PC. And she's able to open the picture in the Photos app, edit it. So she says there's only one person eating lunch. She's able to save this to her desktop as well. And it's as easy as that. Now, one of the other things that's a source of distraction and anxiety for most of us is notifications on our phone. What we've done here is basically mapped all her Android notifications to either a Windows app, or to a website. And then being able to actually give her the ability to click on the notification from the Contoso Expense app. So here's the Contoso Expense app that many of you in this audience probably contributed to. And she has the ability to drag and drop that expense report receipt right in line. So I hope you guys are excited to use this because I certainly am. We're making it so that your phone and your PC work together for you and on your behalf. None of us here can live without our phones, and neither should your PC. Please welcome Joe back on stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Shilpa. All right, so hopefully you all get a sense for some of the ways that we're evolving the Windows experience to take advantage of this, all our users' use of multiple devices. And the next topic that we want to talk about is some of the ways that we're evolving the user experience to help make people more effective as they use that desktop or laptop. And so today I'm going to walk you through sets. And I know some of you are familiar with this, but this is the first time we've had the chance to stand here with all of our developer community and describe what we have in mind and how it affects your apps. But before I get into that, I want you to hear from some actual human end users talking about some of the problems and opportunities and obstacles they hit while they're trying to get complex tasks done on their PC. So let's take a listen.
We're passionate about helping people get serious work done. To learn how to make it easier to finish projects, we ask people to send us snapshots of how they use their PCs to work on the things they care about. We found two main problems. The first is that it's too hard to put together all of the web and app content needed for a project.
I've got like 5 different folders that say documents. I have no idea what's in half of them at all.
The second problem is that it takes too long to reassemble all the necessary content each time someone picks up where they left off.
If I stop doing this for like a week or something, I might forget about that combination. So that's something that the computer could, I guess, remember.
We want to help solve the problems people face when working on projects. Our goal is to make it easier for our customers to be productive with the apps and web content they need together to get serious work done.
So let me take you on a quick walk through how we see the sets experience evolving. I know many of you have tried it out, but I want to give you sort of the full picture. So as you'll see here, we're going to start in a Word document where here I am, someone putting together a rainfall report. And of course, one of the first things that I'm going to see is a web link that might be in my document, or it might be research that I'm doing related to my Word document. So here I am, I'm reading along on the web, and of course I'm interested in other articles. And what starts to happen as I get going is more and more things will open up. Now I'm curious, how many of you right now have 12 or more tabs open in your web browser? Yes. Have 15 or more? 20? Or yes, a lot. And the problem is that those tabs in your web browser, they're off in a different area, not in a way that's related to the work that you're doing, and not in a way that's remembered and restored later. So that's one of the key ideas of sets here. The second thing that we're trying to do is to try to help people start the next part of their task. So you'll see here, when I click the plus, we get a new tab page that's optimized around this organization and these people getting things done. It's branded Contoso, and because Contoso is an Office 365 shop, it's customized with Office 365 data about documents and things that I, as a user, am working on, or things my work group is working on. And furthermore, Contoso has deployed Bing at work, and with the Office service, the search experience within that new tab page is smart. So if I'm looking for an Excel spreadsheet with precipitation data that's relevant to the Word document I'm writing, I can get it incredibly quickly and easily through a simple search. Again, keeping these related things together. Now, we've rolled this out, and we have a number of people who've been testing it, and we're starting to get feedback. And one of the things that's pretty interesting, and probably some of you have experienced this, is when this content comes together, it starts to change the way you think about switching between things. And so one of the things that we've worked on is Alt-Tab. So imagine I'm going between web content and app content, and I hit Alt-Tab, and there's this funny thing. And I'm curious, how many of you can relate to the following idea? You're working on a website, you do a bunch of stuff in the website, you open a tab, you go to another website, you switch between browser tabs, and then you hit Alt-Tab to go back to a previous website, but the web tab is not there. Yes? Anyone? Okay, the next insider build you get will take web content and put your recent web tabs right at your fingertips in Alt-Tab, so you get this automatic muscle memory feeling of switching back to the last thing, regardless of whether it's web or app. And yes, thank you. I can see some of you clapping for that. I've been trying this out, and let me tell you, all those moments where you go, oh, it's not there, finally that gets a little smoother. And it's one of the ways that the Insider program has helped us come to a good understanding about which problems to go after. So in this case, I'm going to finally lift my thumb off the Alt button, switch back to my Word document, and so the act of switching between things remains smooth with sets. But probably the biggest payoff, and this is the comment that Kevin made in that video, it happens when you close a set, and maybe a week goes by, or even a month goes by, and you want to pick up where you left off with a combination of things. Because sets are stored in the Microsoft Graph, and therefore they're cross-device, we have a memory of which things you were doing together in combination. It's literally what Kevin asked for. I wish the computer could remember the combination. So here, when I reopen my Word document, we prompt and say you had 3 tabs open last time. You can see what they all are, and with one click, you're right back to where you left off. It's the combination of things that the computer remembers. Of course, since this is stored in the graph, sets has a relationship to timeline. And so one of the other things you'll see coming to our Insider builds is support for sets in the timeline. So here in the upper left, you'll see the set I was just working on. That's my rainfall report. And you can see that there's 3 tabs there. I could flip between them if I want. But over here, I also want to point out a second set. This is our Contoso expense reporting app as part of a set. And here you can see all the Contoso IT department, Contoso developers needed to do was register their activities with the Microsoft Graph, and then that app could be restored as part of a set as well. So you can see here's a meaningful set. I've got the expense report I'm working on, our company's guidelines for expense reporting, and some receipt images that I dragged to my PC from my phone. So now is the time for all of you to be thinking about how you incorporate sets into your applications. And there are a few key things that are happening now. I want you all to be installing these insider builds and giving us feedback. We've been getting positive feedback, but we've also been learning about glitches and bumps and things we need to improve, and we need more of that, and we need it as it relates to your apps. There are a whole bunch of improvements and things underway. I talked about some of them. And I know this begs the question for all of you, when will sets be available? Here's the answer. When we think that it is great. And so in the past, we've come up here at Build and showed new features, and sometimes people assume that means they're imminently available. I just want to be really clear. Sets requires Office and your applications and our whole ecosystem to work smoothly together. And we're going to make sure we take the time to do that right so all our customers have a great experience. So that wraps up our first chapter on Windows improving its productivity across devices and how the user experience is going to change. And what we're going to do now is transition over to the topic of developers and a lot of platform capabilities that we're building that will make your apps more modern, more embracing of this multi-sense world, but also give you pragmatic ways to deploy and better ways to be effective as you write code. And to transition over, I'm going to introduce Kevin Gallo, who our CVP of the Windows Developer Platform, who's going to come to stage. But I'm going to leave you with a video of the Fluent design system and how it's evolved. We announced Fluent last year at Build, and Fluent is about a community-driven effort to understand and define the way in which applications need to be modified so that they work great cross-device and multi-sense. We want your apps to be comfortable with mouse and keyboard, comfortable with ink and touch, and also comfortable on a VR display, if that makes sense for what your apps do. And so we're working with all of you, and we love getting your feedback on Fluent. And I'm going to run a quick video that shows you how Fluent has evolved. And then I want you to welcome Kevin to the stage to talk more about the Windows Developer Platform. Let's run that video.
Good morning, everyone. We're now in chapter two, where I'm excited to share with you some of the improvements coming to the Windows 10 platform. Now, building for the intelligent cloud and the intelligent edge brings with it many complex challenges. So we've taken a very pragmatic approach to helping you be more productive when modernizing your applications. With that in mind, let's talk about three key areas of innovation. One, how you can enable greater user productivity across all your devices and code bases. Two, how you can deploy applications more easily with some .NET and packaging improvements. And three, how Windows can be your primary dev box, whether building your cloud backend or building experiences for any of your edge devices, PCs, phones, IoT, HoloLens, or even Xbox. First up, improving user productivity across all your code bases. Based on your feedback, we've been working on decoupling more parts of the Universal Windows platform so you can easily adopt them incrementally. One specific request was for the ability to incorporate Fluent experiences into any of your existing applications. I'm happy to share with you two new areas of innovation. First, I'm so excited to announce UWP XAML Islands with host controls for Windows Forms, WPF, and native Win32. What this means is that all Windows applications can access the Fluent design system regardless of which UI stack you use. A XAML island is just a standard UWP control or even a complete UWP UI that is seamlessly composed inside of any other UI framework. No complex input problems, no threading across process issues. It just works. So inside your Windows Forms or WPF application, you can just drop in any UWP control like Media Player, Edge-based WebView, Ink Canvas, Maps, Swap Chain Panel, or even your own custom UI. This makes UWP controls truly universal controls. Second, developers can better tailor universal Windows applications specifically for the desktop. For example, we filled in some gaps by adding window management APIs, we improved UI density, and we now have a fluent data grid. Now, to see all this come together, does everybody want to see some code? All right. So today I'm going to work on a WPF application. This is for the shipping department of a furniture store. And they want to do two things to the application and nothing else. They just want to do two things. One, fix a bug. There's some bug that's been reported a bunch of times. And two, they want to modernize their processes. So they want to make some improvements in their UI. And I'm going to use XAML Islands to solve both of these problems. So let me show you the application before we go take a look at the code. So here's the application. When I start up, it has a typical thing. It's going to land on a page. This is a web page that's shared with its internal website. And the people on the internal website, when they updated it, they updated it to use some new features in Edge. So they use CSS Grid here. And you can see it just looks kind of wonky. And that's because in WPF, you only have access to the IE11 web browser control. But we want to update that and use a new Edge-based control so it looks correct. That's the first bug we want to go fix. The second thing is improving our workflow. So we're changing some stuff in our enterprise. And I'll show you what we do now, and it's kind of arcane. So we double-click here. That's my standard, all my, my invoices. I double-click on the first one. I get this data form. We print, and the way it works is we print it, we physically sign it, and we archive the piece of paper. We can't search for it, got paper to go deal with. We want to go completely digital. And at the same time, we want to make the application match that experience. So I'm going to take this gray area here, this light gray, and I'm going to replace that with a XAML island. Everything from the white and above is going to stay with WPF, and I'm going to show you how they're seamlessly together. So let's hop over to Visual Studio and work on those two issues. So the first one is updating the web browser control. So I'm in my mainpage.xaml, I'm in my WPF project, and here's my web browser control. So I'm going to delete that, and I'm going to move over a WebView control. Now, it looks like a WPF control, because it actually is. But inside its implementation, it's implementing a XAML island. For the most common controls, we've actually created wrappers and make it really easy to just drop it in, and you don't even have to know that the implementation is a XAML island behind the scene, because it's so seamless. So all I have to do here is give it a name. If I remember, the name was web. Get that right. So I'm going to hop over to the new application and show you that running. You can see now it's formatted correctly. I think it was 25 characters. I counted them that I had to go change in order to go now get all the rich features in Edge-based WebView. Pretty awesome, right? So the second thing is a little more complex. And here I'm going to directly host a XAML island. So I want to replace that entire data form. So I'm going to do this by using a UWP user control. So what I've done inside of my solution here, I've added a UWP user control project. And it's just a standard one. It could be anything. It's just a UWP control. And as I go through here, I want to show you some of the new features that I was able to use as part of upgrading and using the UWP UI. So the first thing is, remember that UI density that I mentioned, how we've improved it? This app is pretty dense, and I want this experience to feel like it's part of that application, not different. So I'm going to use this new compact size mode. Very easy. I just changed the resource dictionary, and I've got it. Simply got all the nice benefits of being more compact. But it still works with touch, with pen. So we didn't compromise there. We just got more density. Second thing is I want to be able to lay it out so it can automatically lay out all that nice fluid layout that we've shown with UWP. I want that in this application as well because I want to be able to show two invoices side by side. So what I do is I use the trio of Visual State Manager, Adaptive Triggers, and Relative Panel, and that gives me all that beautiful resizing. And I'll show you that in a moment when I go and show the application. Next thing I want to use features like XBind, which give me compile time binding, so better performance. I'm going to use XLoad and XPhase, so that I can decide which UI loads at the right time, again, giving a more delightful experience because I've got to get access to those features. Text boxes, they just work better. Since they're UWP text boxes, they have access to all those features. They have spell checking, autocomplete, and they can take ink and do ink reco naturally right inside the text box, and I didn't have to do any additional work. Now, one thing that I'm sure you'll want, and I just want to note here, is that because we're running XAML Islands inside the same CLR that WPF is running, they're both running inside of .NET Framework, I can get two-way data binding naturally. They're in the same process, in the same threading model. So now two-way data binding between the WPF controls and the UDP controls just works. It's pretty awesome when you see it running. So now that I've got my UWP control, that's my island, I'm now going to go to WPF and wire that up and tell it where I want to place it, which was that light gray area that I highlighted before. So I'm going to go, this is where the grid is that was implemented in WPF. I'm going to delete that, and I'm just going to drag in here a host control. So this is now in the same exact location I want it. I need to tell it which user control that I wanted to use. So that way I don't mistype it, you know how the typos are. I'm going to cut and paste it here. Now I've got that control. And that, again, is just the same control that I used here, just fully qualified so it knows which one to go use. Now let me hop over and show you that in the application. So I'm going to go to shipments just like I did before. I'm going to choose the first one. And now you'll see it doesn't really look that radically different. Well, that's the goal. I don't want to disrupt the workflow of my employee. I just want to improve the application with the minimal amount of interruption and all the benefit. So this light gray area is now running completely with UWP UI inside of this .NET application, this WPF application. Note a few things. One, I can resize it. And as I resize it, it reflows. Naturally, using animations, I don't know if you looked at the code, I didn't highlight it, but I did some implicit animations. I copied the code off the web. That way we can see where things flow and things move. It's very simple for me to go do that. Another control that we've added is we actually have command bar flyout. If you looked at any of the recent versions of Office, it uses inline commanding. So I've done it right here in this text box, where if I highlight created, it automatically pops it up inline, knowing that I'm probably going to want to do something because I highlighted it. I can bold it. If I right-click, it gives me a complete context menu. You can use this using XAML Islands in your WPF, WinForms, Win32 application, or of course the UWP, as it's just a UWP control. Now, one other thing I told you about is these text boxes. I can actually go and use my pen inside any of these text boxes. So I'm going to go click here. I'm going to put a 2. I'm going to hit OK. And we get ink reco automatically. All that multi-sense work that we have now inside of UWP with Fluent, you can go get access to. Now, we've had this built into Windows for a little while, but I'm excited to announce that we're actually going to add ink analysis to the Cognitive Services Labs. So this is going to be available, so you can go use it not just inside of UWPs, but on any of your devices, just like any other cognitive services. So now, awesome, right? Ink analysis is a cognitive service anywhere. So now that I've actually, you know, filled out the whole form, it's correct, I'm just going to sign that here, my little scribble that I do. You know, how many of you have better signatures? Okay. Come on, guys. This is exciting stuff here. Signing. Now I hit save. This is going to save the form. But I do one additional thing. I'm actually saving a user activity. There's a great place for me to save that off into the Microsoft Graph, because it's a point that I may want to go search for later on, I may want to find. I also get the benefit of not just being in timeline, but also of being in set. So if I had multiple tabs and saved that user activity, as Joe said, if I closed them all down and I started them up, I would be able to pick up where I left off because I placed that as a user activity. So let me just show you how it works in timeline here. Saved off here, I'll scroll down. It's editing item 1001. Yeah, I made a simple name. pops me right back into the form. And I want you to note that it didn't just start the app. It deep linked. Make sure when you put user activities, you also make sure your app can handle those deep links. So you can, again, help your employees or users get right back to where they were and pick it up. Now, one thing I didn't point out when I went through this the first time is that I have these additional items up here. I have four little green cameras. One of the things we want to do to improve the product quality is make sure that we're shipping undamaged boxes and undamaged furniture. So we want to go, we're going to go add cameras to take photos at four different points of the packaging of the product. So then the employee who signs off here can look at those four photos and make sure there is no damage. Now, this is a great place for us to kind of help the employee. That's an additional work and it's kind of mundane. We can use machine learning and the custom vision service that Scott talked about yesterday to train and create an Onyx model to help offload some of that work that we're adding here. So let me go show you how we've gone and added machine learning, Windows ML and machine learning to the application. So I'm gonna hop over here to this one to show you, first of all, that I created. So when I did the custom vision service, I created and produced an Onyx model from it. So that's the output from it when I trained it. So here I've imported the Onyx model. And as you've seen before, when you import an Onyx model, we automatically in Visual Studio create a wrapper class that you can go call from your code. And here's that wrapper class. Basically creates box model, input, output, and evaluation functions. So I'm going to use those within my application. And I didn't have to do anything other than import it. First thing I do here is I declare my variables. I actually have no outputs here. I just have an input and an evaluation function, so I put that to null. In my loader, I just load up the Onyx model. Now, on each of the pictures, when I have that data form, I'm gonna run this process ML function to go give me a score to know whether or not the photo was damaged or whether the product was damaged at any of those stages of it. So I do a simple thing is I just get the probability back. So the way it works with ML is you give it the photo and it comes back with a score telling you the likelihood. So if there's a high probability that it's broken or not broken, then I'll mark it as, you know, I'll put in, you know, the little icons that show that. And the real interesting case here, because this is where I want to go spend some time retraining, is if I don't know which was, or machine learning couldn't tell me, I'm going to mark that with a question mark and then have the employee take action. Say, okay, I'll physically go look at it, and then I'll classify it. We'll take that among all the employees who are doing this, and then bring that data together, put it up into Azure, and retrain that vision service to get better and better each time, ultimately making my employees more productive. So what I just showed you in this demo is three things. First, how you can use XAML Islands in your existing UI, either with our wrappers for the most common controls, or directly host your own custom UI. The second is how you can log a user activity so it shows up both in timeline and in sets. And third, how you can use AI and Windows ML not just to make your applications more capable, but your employees more productive. We at Microsoft are also using AI and Windows ML to improve our products. For example, in Microsoft Word, we have a goal to make every person a better writer. And one way we do this is with grammar checking. However, some errors are very, very hard to detect with traditional algorithms. For example, in English, you get into a car, but onto a train. There is a shadow on the road versus there is fog on the road. For me, this issue is a deeply personal one, as my daughter Anna has struggled with grammar her whole life. Just 3 weeks ago, after getting back a paper, she told me in despair that she felt like she would never be a good writer. She had a nearly perfect grade on the content, but lost 50 points for grammar, even though she tried really, really hard to get it right. I'm sure many of you can relate out there as well. However, with machine learning, we now have a tool that is tailor-made to find these errors, as it can learn just like humans learn. When I saw this next demo, I realized that it could truly change my daughter's life. Here we have two documents. On the left is the current version of Word, which doesn't find any grammatical errors. On the right is a prototype with improvements for machine learning, but now it finds the grammar issues. A specific challenge in English is knowing when and which determiner to use, like the, or sometimes neither of them, as in that fog case. We've trained the grammar checker, and it now can suggest corrections that I can take action on and fix. Another point I wanted to highlight is that we're running this on Windows ML, which enables Word to build an experience that is low latency, has high scalability, because there are a lot of Word users out there, and it can work offline. Now, I'm excited to announce one more thing about UI. starting this year, we'll make new platform controls available via NuGet. We call this the Windows UUI library, or WinUI for short. Controls in WinUI are the same ones that ship in the platform and the same ones that Windows uses to build its own apps and experiences. But now, if you're deploying to devices running Windows 10 Anniversary Update or later, your application can start using WinUI controls right away. So next, let's talk about some deployment improvements for .NET. How many .NET developers are there out there? All right, there are a bunch of you out there, but I kind of knew that. You gave us seed feedback that you would like us to decouple the .NET framework updates from the Windows platform updates. And at the same time, you wanted us to better align the .NET framework that is in UWP with the full .NET framework in Windows. So today, I am so excited to announce that we are addressing both of these requests with .NET Core 3. This release will bring the deployment flexibility of .NET Core to the rich set of APIs and functionality that desktop developers love about the .NET framework. You'll be able to run multiple instances of .NET Core 3 side by side on the same computer, which means you can update Windows Forms or WPF or UDP applications to a new version of .NET without updating the entire OS. Pretty awesome, right? We'll have this preview of .NET Core 3 later this year. When we talk about packaging and distribution, the words simple and pragmatic always come to my mind. And yesterday, you heard a lot about containers and how they're being used to solve management and deployment for cloud workloads. As a class of technologies, containers are valuable for client applications too. And today I'm going to share with you details about the next generation application container we call MSIX. With MSIX, we're providing a complete containerization solution. MSIX inherits all the great features from UWP, including reliable and robust installation and updating, a managed security model, and support for both enterprise deployment and the Microsoft Store. We're also making it easy for you to take any app or game, package that is in MSI, and simply up-level it to MSIX. And we're introducing a new tool optimized for your workflow, whether you're an IT pro or a developer, or like how many of you out there are kind of both of those sometimes, right? Got to kind of wear both of those hats. You can now easily up-level large catalogs of MSIXs using either command line tools, scripts, or even a UI. Many partners have announced support for MSIX, including Advanced Installer, Flexera, and Fryer Giant, and we have more partners coming soon. Finally, so you can manage one app package across all your devices, I'm happy to announce support for MSIX packages on Windows 7. So let me move on and talk about our third and final topic, which is improvements we're making so Windows can be your primary dev box when building for the cloud and edge. You can work with back-end services, build app and web clients, ship for multiple platforms and devices, all while using ML, AI, bots, or any framework or any language you choose. Our mission is to make Windows the best dev box for you. Now, over the last few releases of Windows, we've made some steady improvements. For web devs, we've enabled VS Code debugging for Node.js on the Windows subsystem for Linux. We've also added support for progressive web apps, but we went one step further, giving your PWAs access to the full power of the Windows platform. For mobile devs, we've added Xamarin Forms IntelliSense, powered by the same engine as WPF and UWP. We've also added modern templates for iOS and Android with flyout menus and bottom tabs. But today I'm excited to announce and share a few more. We're bringing enhanced session support for Linux VMs through a collaboration with the XRDP open source project. It's faster, no more mouse delay, and has tighter integration with Windows for easy sharing of drives and the clipboard. We also know what a pain in the neck it is, really, to have to choose between running the Android emulator and having Hyper-V installed. So we work to make the Android emulator compatible with Hyper-V. The preview is available today, so you can run the latest Android emulators side by side with Hyper-V VMs, Docker tooling, the HoloLens emulator, and more. But to me, sometimes it's the little things that matter the most, right? Like how in Notepad, the Linux live feeds don't actually end. They just go on and on and on, right? I can work past it, but it's kind of just plain annoying. Anybody annoyed by that? I'm always annoyed by it. Well, we fixed Notepad. We decided, finally, time to go fix it. Notepad now supports Linux line feeds, the little things. Another small detail that I think adds up to a lot of value is having a repeatable, reliable, and fast setup for new dev boxes. We're excited to be contributing sample scripts to Boxstarter and Chocolaty for Windows app devs, web devs, and many other categories like mobile and IoT coming soon. Please keep giving us feedback, and let's build the best dev box together. So today I shared a few of the key innovations coming to the Windows platform. And you can get started exploring these as well as many others with the Insider Preview SDK today. I can't wait to see what you do on the Windows platform next. Back to you, Joe.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. So I have to say, like, I spend most of my time up in the top of the stack with UI kinds of questions. And as I see what Kevin presented, I'm really impressed by the wide range of things that our Windows Core team has built. And I want you to think about this, because I think it's impressive. They're both looking at backwards facing problems, things like large code bases that companies have. And as Windows 10 is getting deployed more broadly, they want to help make all of you and all of our other partners able to deploy those apps, modernize those apps, and make them better. And at the same time, they're leaning into forward-looking technologies like WinML and embracing lots and lots of development environments on Windows. So I am super happy to be partnering with those folks, and I think the work is great. Now, one thing I want to comment before we close chapter two is that all this stuff, not only for you all as an audience, but it's all beneficial to those consumer developers out there that are writing apps for consumers. And one of the key things we want to just touch on briefly is that, of course, we continue to invest in the Microsoft Store. We're building new ways for consumer developers to track the use of their apps, to deploy their apps. And one thing that we're excited to announce at Build this year is a change in the revenue model within the store for consumer apps. So if you're somebody who writes consumer apps, not games, not commercial apps, you'll care about the fact that going forward, later this year, we'll increase the revenue share to 85% of the revenue going to you if someone comes to the Microsoft Store, finds your app, and installs it. But even better, if you're running your own campaigns or promoting your app on your website, if you send a customer to the Microsoft Store and they find your app, we'll return 95% of the revenue to you, making this the most developer-friendly store from an economic point of view of all the large ecosystems. So, thank you. Thank you. So that wraps up chapter two, and I hope you got a sense of the wide range of things that we're doing to help developers be more effective. And what we're going to do now is change gears and talk about Office and some cool opportunities for all of you to be where your customers are. And I want you to get the right mindset here. Today, you probably think about your apps as a rectangle on the screen that someone launches on their phone or their PC. But what we want you to do now is start thinking about your apps as value that you create that can live in the places where end users are collaborating or communicating. And today, because this Office experience is reaching more and more people, with 135 million commercial users now using Office 365, and in just a year, 200,000 organizations have begun to adopt Microsoft Teams, it's now possible for the work that you do to appear in the places where people are having conversations or collaborating. So what we're going to do now is three demos showing you the way that you can integrate into office experiences. First, with functions in Excel. Second, in conversations in Outlook. And then third, ways that you can customize the whole experience and create a tailored Teams for your organization. And to get us started, I'm going to introduce to the stage Yina Arenas, who's going to talk about extending Excel. Yina leads our Microsoft Graph team, and you're going to hear a bunch from her today. So thanks, Yina.
Thank you, Joe. Hello, Build. Hello, Build. Hello. I am Yina Arenas, and I lead the team that brings you the Microsoft Graph. But I'm here to show how you can take your business logic and services and make them available to everyone in your organization using Excel. Now, Excel has a lot of powerful capabilities built straight into the application, things users know and love, like a powerful set of functions. And here's the cool part. We are now enabling you to extend Excel to make it the most flexible tool for processing data customized to your organization. How? With a new support for custom functions in JavaScript, you can write custom JavaScript code that looks and behaves like any other function in Excel. You can empower every Excel user in your organization with artificial intelligence and service-connected code without having them leave the tool they already know and love. Now, let's take a look at an example of this new functionality on Excel and how it helps the budget managed by the Contoso finance team. The team needed to calculate custom depreciation based on business rules. So we created a set of functions specifically written for the Contoso finance team. I want you to pay attention to this particular cell when I'm going to invoke the Contoso functions. The first one is a depreciation value. I'm going to select the input, and then the function will automatically calculate it. This function implements our logic in JavaScript, and it's connecting to our internal services, to the Contoso internal services. And you can also write custom functions that pull in data from the web. Here, this function is bringing sales tax values based on the city. Now, as any other function, if I change an input, like the vendor price, to 2,000, the worksheet will automatically recalculate. Now, let's go to Visual Studio Code and see how this is done. The first thing that I have here is that it's a JavaScript function that allows me to register this custom function with Excel. All I need to do this is simple JavaScript and web service calls. The second function that I have here is the one that is bringing that sales tax information. As you can see, it's plain and simple JavaScript. This code is in the cloud, not in a PC or attached to a specific Excel file. And as a developer, you can package this code and deploy these new custom functions to everyone in your Office 365 environment and make it available for users and groups in your organization. So we're going to add this new add-in. And now users will automatically get access to all of these custom functions, whether they're using Excel on the Mac, on the web, or on their PC. The deployment is centralized, and no local addings are required. Now I'm going to add it to the finance team. Now, that way, since the deployment is centralized, every time that you need to fix a bug in your code, you fix it once, and everyone gets the fix right away. And it's not to say that you write buggy code, but just in case. Now, let's take a moment to review what we just did. We created a custom JavaScript function that behaves like any other function in Excel. And we made it available to everyone in your organization using centralized deployment. This custom function is connecting to our own web services, and recalculation is triggered just like you would expect. By infusing Excel with code and insights, you can offer new cloud-connected experiences to empower everyone in your organization without disrupting their workflow. Thank you. Now I'd like to invite my colleague Charles Morris to show you how you can extend Outlook experiences. Charles?
Thank you, Yina. Good morning, everyone. My name is Charles Morris, and I'm a group program manager on the web platform team. Today, I'm here to show you how, by building adaptive cards, you can engage with your users in your apps right in the flow of their daily conversations. Adaptive cards are an open source card exchange format that allow you to embed your content inside of other applications, allowing you to reach your users wherever they are. Adaptive cards can be hosted inside of Microsoft Teams, as we'll see in a minute, but also the Bot Framework, Cortana, the Windows Timeline, and more. Before now, I'd like to show you how adaptive cards help me be productive right inside of Microsoft Outlook. So every day, I get many workflow and notification type emails, requests for approval, or decisions that need to be made. For these types of emails, adaptive cards help your users make streamlined and quick decisions right inside of Outlook. So let's take a look at three quick examples of how this works. So how many of you out there have a bunch of notification emails from GitHub in your inbox right now? Well, this one here is a bit different. Because it contains an adaptive card that GitHub has built, this GitHub issue becomes immediately actionable for me. So I can simply skim through this issue, add my own comment, and this is now posting directly back to GitHub. And with just one more click, I can close it out. So just like that, I have completely taken care of this issue, all without leaving my flow in Outlook. How cool is that? So just think of all the context switches this can eliminate throughout the day, which costs us precious time and energy. Let's take a look at a second example. Limeade is a company whose mission is to build employee engagement at the companies that they work with by helping employees at those companies invest more time in their personal well-being and growth. Here you can see an email that I've gotten from Limeade that contains an adaptive card. Because I've given Limeade access to my calendar, they can now use the Microsoft Graph to look at my schedule and make some personalized suggestions. So now with just one click, I can schedule some time in my calendar for my well-being, in this case by participating in a group mindfulness session. It's that easy. So let's take a look at a third example now. Another type of email that I get are bills and invoices, and these can be time-consuming to take care of. And that's why I'm thrilled to announce that starting today, you can pay off bills and invoices directly in Outlook using adaptive cards. This integrates with Microsoft Pay, which means that I can access all of the payment methods that I already have securely stored in the cloud to streamline the payment process. Let's take a quick look. So here you can see that I've switched over into my personal Outlook.com account, where I've got an email, which is an invoice that's handled by our partner, Xero. They help small businesses with services like billing. Because Xero has built an adaptive card into this email that integrates with Microsoft Pay, I can kick off the payment process directly inside of Outlook. So now with just a few clicks, I can confirm the payment mechanism. And then just like that, with just a few clicks, I have paid off that bill, again, all in my flow without leaving Outlook. Yeah, pretty awesome. So we partnered with many app developers like GitHub and Limeade, as well as payment and invoicing partners like Xero and Sage to build adaptive cards for Outlook, and we'd love to add your apps to this list. So how do you, as a developer, go and build an adaptive card? Well, it's really straightforward. Let's imagine for a minute that I'm an enterprise developer that wants to add adaptive cards to our line of business expense report approval tool so that people can approve expenses without leaving Outlook. All I would need to do is go to adaptivecards.io to design my adaptive card. Here you can see that I've got one preloaded for expense reports, And what this gives me is a standard set of JSON which represents the adaptive card. So now I can switch over to Visual Studio, where you can see some existing email sending code that I have. Now I'm going to leave this HTML email here for clients that do not support adaptive cards. But right here at the top, I'm just going to paste in that JSON inside of a script tag. Now I'd write a few more lines of code here to substitute in the right values for that expense report. But otherwise, that's all it takes. As soon as Outlook sees this JSON inside of the email, it will take care of rendering that adaptive card for me. So that's a really quick look at how developers like you are increasing user engagement with adaptive cards in Outlook. Now I'd like to welcome Christina Baer to the stage to show you how that same technology can power an entire hub for teamwork inside of Microsoft Teams. Thank you very much.
Christina. Thank you, Charles. Good morning, everyone. I lead the Office for Healthcare Product Group. In healthcare, the ability for doctors, nurses, and staff to communicate in a secure and compliant way is critical. Our group is working with several hospitals around the world to integrate Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 so that they can provide better patient care. Microsoft Teams has grown rapidly over the past year and is now being used by over 200,000 organizations in 181 markets. Teams lets you weave applications and data directly into the flow of conversation. And with Microsoft 365, organizations get built-in security and compliance so that they can work with confidence. You can tailor Teams for your customers by building on its rich developer canvas, all powered by the underlying insights and intelligence of the Microsoft Graph. Today, I'm going to show you an example in healthcare, but we all know that communication, collaboration, and a deep integration of line of business apps applies to all organizations. So before we get started, let's do a quick tour of Teams. Here in the center is where users can communicate and collaborate through a persistent chat, share files, and co-author content. It's easy to set up or join an online meeting across all of your devices. And all of this can be organized by working team and topic, and something that can be automatically provisioned through our expanded Microsoft Graph APIs. At the top, you will see a series of tabs that can be web-hosted apps relevant to this particular team. Okay, now on to the demo. One of the issues routinely tracked in hospitals are infection rates. A team member has posted that there's been a noticeable increase. Staff can click in line and go directly into a Power BI dashboard where they can easily learn more about the data. So I know many of you have spent some time building experiences in other Microsoft 365 canvases like SharePoint. You've used SharePoint framework to create web parts to organize and design pages. And the great news is that none of that work is wasted. You can bring all that customization directly into Teams as a tab, like this intensive care employees portal. Every SharePoint customization is a Teams customization. I'm showing you how two Microsoft 365 services can be included as a tab, but you could easily include your own web-hosted line of business app in a tab extension just like this. All right, let's go back to this infection rate comment. Earlier, you heard Charles talk about the cost of context switching. Microsoft Teams gives you an ability to expose a conversational AI to help your users find what or who they're looking for right in the moment. In this case, a hospital has created a bot that can be used in group conversations using Azure Bot Services. Users can ask, who knows about infection rates? And they get an answer that crawls the Microsoft Graph. I could even schedule a meeting without disrupting my flow. So when I first started working with healthcare customers, a common frustration I heard is that electronic health record data is siloed from the way that people in hospitals communicate and collaborate. Our adaptive cards give developers an ability to break down those barriers. What you'll see here is an adaptive card has been posted with relevant health data right into the conversation regarding a patient admission. This is the same construct you saw demoed earlier in Outlook and in Windows. Third parties can build interactive cards like this one that our partner Datica is delivering. It sends data into Microsoft Teams in a secure and compliant way. And these action buttons on the adaptive cards, they can trigger a modal dialogue rendering a line of business app. The National Health Services in the United Kingdom is using Visio and Power BI within Microsoft Teams to streamline the bed assignment process, very similar to what you see here. And what you'll notice on the adaptive card is that once the bed was assigned, the card itself was updated. That's because adaptive cards can be dynamic, refreshing as information changes. This conversation has become infused with apps and data. In this example, it's health, but it could easily be a CRM system or your own line of business app. Okay, so sometimes a solution to one problem, like finding a bed for a patient, can trigger a new problem, like being short-staffed in the ICU. Kronos is a partner of ours, and they are a leader in workforce management and staff scheduling. They are shipping their SaaS application as an extension in Microsoft Teams as a bot. Earlier, I showed you a bot in group conversation. In this case, when I click this button, I am brought to a one-to-one conversation with a Kronos bot. And thanks to Azure AI, I can ask for where a specific nurse is and am prompted with quick replies to make the transfer process into the ICU painless. In addition to this desktop experience, of course, Microsoft Teams is available on mobile devices. When the nurse is transferred, she receives a notification on her mobile phone of her shift change. The notifications that you develop for desktop for Microsoft Teams automatically work on mobile. And finally, yet another powerful way to bring your apps into the conversation is to take advantage of our new messaging extensions. Let's say a nurse is trying to figure out the level of gauze in the ICU. I can easily access the line of business app for supply chain management by at mentioning it like I would a person, searching the inventory for gauze, selecting this card, and inserting it directly into the conversation. No time was wasted launching another app, and everyone can see the same information. With this capability, users can query your service and post your rich results so that it can be seen by everyone. As developers, you can extend every facet of the conversation with your app right in Microsoft Teams. And to get your apps to customers, there's a store section of Microsoft Teams that allows users to find and take advantage of your great tech. To date, over 200 applications from major ISVs have taken advantage of our extensibility platform. And what we are announcing today is that companies can bring apps into a dedicated section of the store just for their organizations. So by bringing line of business apps into a hub of communication and collaboration with Microsoft Teams, together we will reduce so much unnecessary friction for our customers, empowering them to build upon the contributions of their colleagues. Tabs, adaptive cards, bots, and message extensions are all extensibility options available today so that you can create tailored teams that will achieve more. Let's take a look at how a customized Microsoft Teams experience is being used by the National Health Services in the United Kingdom to provide better patient care. Thank you.
The National Health Service provides healthcare services to about 65 million UK residents. In England alone, we are dealing with over 1 million patients every 36 hours. Staff have been telling us they want to work differently.
Coordinating care in a workforce this massive is a big challenge. We need to have a unifying system to allow for an ease of communication as a patient moves through our services.
One of the most exciting things we have done is the adoption of Office 365 across the Trust, and in particularly Teams, to improve the flow of information and decision-making and bringing people from disparate teams and disparate sites into one collaborative group in Teams. Capacity and bed capacity across the NHS is a huge challenge for all. With the implementation of Teams and Power BI, we now have our bed capacity absolutely optimized, and because of this, we're saving the Trust quite a lot of money on a monthly basis. Because of the size of London, the use of video and chat is enabling specialist consultants, as patients pass through the processes, they can have this dialogue, which is instantaneous.
We're now utilizing Power BI to represent the data of the business units to have discussions around how to expand services to improve outcomes.
Because the platform is so easy and intuitive, we find a lot more collaboration and information sharing taking place. This translates to giving clinicians the right information and the right tools, enabling those clinicians to spend more time with patients. Microsoft gives us the tools, and I use them to empower my customers and clinicians.
Hello again, friends. We are now in chapter 4, and we are going to talk about my favorite, the Microsoft Graph. In the previous chapter, we showed how you as a developer can insert your own custom experiences into Microsoft 365 apps like Excel, Outlook, and Microsoft Teams. Now, I'm going to show how you can connect data and intelligence in Microsoft 365 using the Microsoft Graph. From your own apps, whether those are running on Windows, on the web, on the Mac, on the phone, or on any device, as long as that device can make an HTTP request. So, we've heard a lot about Microsoft Graph in today's and yesterday's keynote. And I wanted to take a minute to review what is Microsoft Graph and why it is so important for us and for you. First, Microsoft Graph is your data in Microsoft 365. It is hosted by Microsoft with extensive security and management controls, but it is your data. It is your personal data, it is your organizational data. You control it and you manage it. We are bringing together data across Office 365, Windows, and enterprise mobility and security connected by logical relationships. For developers, Microsoft Graph is accessible through one single unified REST API endpoint, graph.microsoft.com. Now, we use Microsoft Graph extensively in our own experiences, in Microsoft Teams, in OneDrive, in Word, in Intune, in the Windows timeline, and more. We use Microsoft Graph to power Microsoft 365. And you? You can connect to Microsoft Graph to power your own app experiences. By doing so, your app will be able to sign in users seamlessly with the same identity that is used by Windows and Office, and you will be able to use the same business data that Microsoft 365 apps use. Whether that's the identity coming from Azure AD, the groups that are powering many of the Office 365 experiences, conversations from Microsoft Teams, files from SharePoint, calendar events from Outlook, and cross-device experiences from Windows. The result is apps that are not only easier to build because you're able to reuse components from the Microsoft 365 experiences, but are also to bring in collaboration and feel like a deeply connected part of Microsoft 365. Now let's go to a demo to show how you can supercharge your own app experiences by making them graph-powered. For this app, we're going to go back to this hospital scenario. Hospital equipment like MRIs and EKGs must always be in proper working order. The equipment staff for this organization uses this UWP app to be on top of all maintenance requests across many different clinics. The first thing that you will see when I launch this app is that after it has permissions, it's able to sign me in with the same identity that is used by Microsoft 365 services through single sign-on. Then using the Microsoft Graph, we're able to bring in profile information for this user, like their name and their picture. No longer we have to ask them to get a new username and password or to fill a new form with profile information. That way, we can provide a personalized experience no matter how the app is showing. Now, here on the app home screen, we have all of the clinics for our system. Now, we don't just have one person working across all of these equipment requests and across all of the different clinics. We have a team that needs to come together and work in the most efficient way. So we can save time and map each team to a clinic, map each group to a clinic in Office 365. So that way, do we integrate more deeply into the Microsoft 365 experience? Let me show you. And to do that, I'm going to go to Visual Studio. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to use the Microsoft Graph.NET client library to instantiate a new Graph client and then create a new group object. Here we're creating the client.
And here we're creating that group object, passing in the properties that are needed for the group creation. Then we're going to execute that request asynchronously to the service. And that way, we can have a group in Office 365 that we can map to each clinic in our system. Now, after that, we can add members to each of the group so that we can map the equipment team to each of the clinics. Now, we can take it even further and then store custom properties from our line of business associated with this group. To do this, we're going to extend the group schema, and we're going to add our own properties to this group. In this case, we're going to add the ID for each clinic that is used internally on the Contoso systems. Here we're adding, extending the schema, and here we're adding the ID of our clinic. Now, this is the ID that is used internally, and this way we can connect data from our line of business with data from the graph. Okay, now that each clinic is connected to a group, I'm able to bring in all the collaboration capabilities from Microsoft 365 as well. Like, for example, the tasks from Planner or the conversations from Microsoft Teams. Now, because we're able to bring in all of these collaboration capabilities in context of our application, we don't need to take the users out of the context that they were executing and working on. Here in the Files tab, you will notice that we have all of the files for these equipment units. We stored all of this information in SharePoint because we get the benefits of everywhere access, enterprise-grade security and compliance, search, e-discovery, and more. The app uses the SharePoint services in Microsoft Graph to bring in thumbnails of the files that are in the library, whether those are Illustrator files, 3D files, documents, CAT files, or any other of the 300 file formats that are supported by SharePoint. And I can show them right here in my app just by rendering a bitmap. Now, that's pretty awesome. And to make it even further, I'm happy to announce that we're making the new Graph UWP controls available today. These UWP controls are open source and are available in GitHub as part of the Windows Community Toolkit. And they make it even easier to connect your UWP application with data to the Microsoft Graph. These controls are of a special value to me because they came together with a lot of participation and support from our community. To our beloved MVPs and everyone who contributed, thank you. The initial set includes a profile control, a people speaker control, a task control, and a files control. And with a few lines of SAML, you can add beautiful UI and get the job done quickly. Let's see how this is done. Here in Visual Studio, I'm going to go to that SAML file. And we're going to see how we're bringing all of these SharePoint functionality that we just saw in the app with just one control and a few lines of SAML. That way, we can bring data from Microsoft Graph in simple, reusable ways. Now, I'm going to go back to my app and click here on the Finance tab. I want you to think back to the first time that I came on stage where I showed this Excel spreadsheet that where we added this custom function written in JavaScript that used our line of business logic to calculate new data into the Excel spreadsheet. Now, we would like to have this same data in our UWP app so that the budget for each clinic reflects any equipment issues in real time. To do this, I could go work with the finance team and understand all of their models that they're doing on their spreadsheet, and then work to reproduce that code in my application. But that will be tedious, and I will have to redo that work every time that the finance team updates their budget models. So instead, I can use the Microsoft Graph to interact directly with the finance team spreadsheet and use that business logic right here in my app. Let's see how this works. Here in the Finance tab, you'll see that I have exactly the same information of that Excel file that is hosted in the cloud. And it can even go further and update one of these vendor prices. Let's say this one is going to go for $30,000. And what we're going to see is that the spreadsheet will update, and then my application will update right away. So let's take a second. Thank you for letting me sit there. But let's take a second and just review what we just did, because it's pretty amazing. Our UWP app pushed data into the Excel spreadsheet into the cloud. Excel recalculated the workbook using that custom function that we created earlier. and then the new data is pulled back into the application, all via calls to Microsoft Graph. This gives the hospital staff the power of cross-team collaboration with information they can always trust is accurate. If we look at the code, we can see that it's pretty simple to bring in information from an Excel spreadsheet using the Microsoft Graph. In this function, we're calling in the workbook, the worksheets, and the range to bring all of that information from that Excel spreadsheet. Lastly, I want to show how writing activities into Microsoft Graph can integrate your app into core Microsoft 365 experiences. The team uses this app to track their work throughout the day, whether they're on site on a clinic or whether they're back at their desk. And because we're writing those activities using the Microsoft Graph, the equipment team, to the timeline, the equipment team can get back to work they did earlier in the day. Now let's see, for example, here in the Windows timeline, I'm gonna search for an activity related to EKG, and I see that the activity shows up in context, and I can open it up, and it will bring up the application right where I left off. Now, this app connects with powerful services like data. This critical project is not a success and on budget because our app made it easier for our teams to collaborate with very little work. With this developer tools and the power of Microsoft Graph, we took a simple UWP application and supercharged it with collaboration in Teams, files in SharePoint, a cloud calc engine in Excel, and activities in the Windows timeline. We are using the best of Office and Windows together. And now you can do this and more with every app you build. Thank you. To learn more, you can join me this afternoon in the Microsoft Graph session. And back to you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Yina. So that wraps up our tour of the parts of Microsoft 365. And I really like that last set of demos because it highlights how these parts work together. How when you build great new business logic in your apps, you can take in Office content. You can deploy to where your users are and create a holistic experience that will make all the people in your organization more effective. Now, we're just going to leave you with a couple of things to remember. The first, these features will be rolling out over the course of the next year. So here's what you should do to best engage with all this stuff. First, join our insider programs if you're not already. Be a Windows insider, be an Office insider, and get those SDKs and play around with all this stuff now. Second, today is the time to start registering your app activities with the Microsoft Graph. It's a great way for you to dive into graph programming, understand the graph, and use it. It'll make your users' lives better, and you'll be ready for timeline as it rolls out and sets when it does as well. Third, start modernizing your app experiences. With Windows 10 increasing its penetration into organizations everywhere, you can take advantage of things like fluent user experience, but also forward-looking tech like Windows ML. Now's the time to go start the process of modernizing all those apps. And last, begin thinking about Office as part of your dev platform. You can use Office data within your apps, and you can put your app value where Office users are. And I'll leave you with one last idea. If you came to this session today and thought of yourself as a Windows developer, or maybe as a web developer, or as an Office developer, I hope that you'll leave thinking of yourself as a Microsoft 365 developer. As one of our two main platforms, when you write to Microsoft 365, you can make your organization and all the people in it more effective and embracing the new culture of work. Thank you so much for coming and spending time with us today. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Have a great build. We appreciate everything you do. So long.